Father, thank you. You've been so faithful, so mighty and powerful, so patient, so loving, so kind. Thank you for how you've worked in the lives of myself and my family, as well as our church family here. The amazing things you have done in this church, Lord, are just mind-boggling, and it's all credit is due you. Without you, we have nothing. Lord God, I need your help this morning to say goodbye. Please help me. Help me to encourage your people. Father, so grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm going to leave this here. I want to talk to you from my heart. I pray I could encourage you. I remember we started talking about this day about 6 years ago. It didn't mean too much, you know, leaving. I mean, 6 years is a long time. And then as certain events started transpiring and next thing you know, we're building a building, and then we're searching for a new pastor, and everything started falling in place, and slowly but surely reality started to hit. The day is coming. We got back from India, put our house up on the market. It sold almost immediately. Pastor Caleb was confirmed. We were packing, and a truck came and took away our furniture. No more house here. God gave us that house, by the way. And then today. So I've been struggling and praying. What do I say? I can't summarize 19 years in 40 minutes. So what's the most important thing I could say to them? I went home last night. I Googled farewell message.
Now we know where you get your sermons from.
Nothing. Nothing. It didn't say anything about how I feel for you. How I love to be a pastor. The privilege. See, when you don't have a high regard for the Word of God, you may not understand what I'm saying. But the privilege for me to stand here behind this pulpit and just bring God's Word to God's people is an honor and a privilege. And it drove me to do my best. That's why I put so much time into a message, because there's nothing more important than the Word of God. Without this, what do you have? And so I didn't know what to say. The one thing I knew for certain, I was not going to do a normal message, pick a passage and go through each verse or phrase. I knew I couldn't do that. And so I'm saying, God, what is the most important thing? Same thing I tell my kids. Most important thing I could say to you today is say yes to Jesus. It's not so hard to say the word, but it's another thing to mean it in the heart and then follow through with the actions. You know, often we say yes to our own desires. We say yes to the world. And sometimes, without even realizing it, we say yes to Satan and do the things that are not pleasing to God. But when you say yes to Jesus Christ, it opens up a whole new world for you. And I want to share just a little bit of that world God opened up for Elena and myself, and how it affected this church and what it could do for you if you just say yes to Jesus. And it begins with salvation. I don't know where everyone here is. Maybe there's a few here who've never said yes to Jesus. Maybe you're struggling with that. Say yes. Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I can never do what Jesus Christ did. That's why he had to come. I could never make myself right with God because of the sin that separates me from him. Yes, Jesus, you went to the cross in my place. Yes, Jesus, you nailed my certificate of debt on your cross. Yes, Jesus, I am trusting in what you did and not in anything I could ever do to get to heaven. You see, that's where it begins. And then for those who've said those words and made that commitment, we find out that growth is a lifelong process. It doesn't end with the salvation conversion. I want to tell you, the tests come every day, and the worse things get in this world, and you know that things are getting worse in this world, the enemy is ratcheting it up and wants nothing better than the fall of every believer. And so how do you stand strong? It begins by saying yes. Whatever God wants you to do, wherever he wants you to go, whatever he wants you to let go of, my hope and prayer for you is that you will say, yes, Jesus. Last night you heard Gary and Margie share about how our church began in 1998. I just want to go a little before that and show you that our God was working even long before that. When Rod came to our house in probably the spring of 1998, what he shared with us is that 10 years earlier, that's 1988, God put a vision on about 10 people's heart to start a conservative Bible church in the Neshota area. And he felt that now was the time to make the move. I'll share with you a little bit about God's timing. It's not always ours. But you see, God was working even before 1988. Elaine and I lived in Long Island, New York, and we were part of a new church plant. The reason it was a new church plant is about 30 families left this particular Presbyterian church because we found out that they were beginning to doubt the deity of Christ, the virgin birth, and looking to ordain homosexual ministers. And so we knew we could not line up with that. You see, doctrine is important. You need to know what do they believe. Doctrine is becoming a dirty word in churches today. You're thought of as being legalistic, but I want to tell you, it simply means the teaching. What's the teaching? When you go to a church, you should know, what are you going to teach my children? What are you going to teach me? How do you view Jesus Christ? How do you view this? Is it completely God's word, or is it in only parts of the book? You should know that. And sometimes when I talk about doctrine with people from other places, they look at me like I'm crazy. They don't even know what their doctrine is or where to find it. You know, in this church, we live and die by our doctrine. Well, we couldn't line up with that denomination or with that church, but we did the right thing. We went to the elders. We went to the pastors. But see, that was a landmark building. And that denomination, if you left the denomination, you lost your building. And the building was more important than the truth. The building was more important than God's word. And so, in effect, they're saying no to Jesus because he is the truth. And so these families, we didn't know what to do, and we started meeting on my house on a Wednesday night until we could figure out, Lord, what do we do? And lo and behold, one Bible study led to another, and before you know it, a church was forming. And then they elected three elders. I was one of them, probably because I had the biggest mouth. I was the most vocal. And here I was, a relatively new Christian, that five-year-old Christian, and I find myself practically, I was the acting pastor, and it was like a challenge I never imagined. And it was through that experience, that happened about 78, 79, and 2 years later in 1981, God put it on my heart to be a pastor. And I said, yes. Yes. Then I went to Elena. I said, Elena, I just know this. God wants us to go into the ministry, but it means I have to go to school. I have to learn more about the Bible. We're going to have to move. And she said, no. I'm not leaving my family, my friends, my church. She said no. Right, hon? And it was during that next year, through a series of very serious events that Elena went through, that God spoke to herself in a very powerful way, convincing her that this is what he wanted us to do, and she said yes. And we were off, I have to tell you, on the greatest adventure of our lives. You see, when you say yes to God, he will take you to places you've never been. He will help you to do things you never imagined. All he wants us to say is yes. So that call for Lake Country Bible Church actually came in 1981, Margie. 1981. And when Rod brought this church to our attention, you know, I had tried over the years and nothing happened. I finished school in 1986 and I'm thinking, wow, I've got 16 years experience on Wall Street. I'm a young guy. I'm 40 years old. Who wouldn't want me? Well, nobody wanted me. I didn't just eat a slice of humble pie, I ate the whole pie. But I was mad at God. You see, all the while God was teaching me things, and I was too wrapped up in my emotions to see it. I was angry at God, and then he began working with me, and my anger went away because I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he called me to be a pastor, and I knew he wanted us to go to Moody Bible Institute, but I couldn't figure out why nothing would happen. So I went back into my field. I went back to work. And then I just felt God saying to me, don't worry, I'll handle it. And I began to believe that, well, maybe I misread God. Did you ever do that? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe he just wanted me to get an education so I could be better at what I'm doing. Because I had no Bible education. But I had a love for the Lord and a love for the Word. And going to Moody opened up more ministry doors than you could imagine. I was preaching constantly, teaching, leading ministries. And I still tried to get a church, to be a pastor. And no matter what I did, it didn't work. And I reached a point where I said, okay, God, no more. I'm not looking anymore. If you want me to be a pastor now, you're going to have to dump a church into my lap. That's when Rod showed up. And still we said no. But the no was changed to a yes. So what I want to tell you is please, please, I don't have anything brilliant or profound to share with you today other than what I have believed, what has driven me in all my years of being a Christian. Find out what God wants you to do and then do it. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about the circumstances. Don't worry about the roadblocks. Nothing. This has been one of my favorite verses, what's on the pulpit here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. That means in everything you do, you're putting God first. In everything you do, put God first. That's easy to say, brothers and sisters, but not so easy to do. Put God first. That means God comes before everyone and everything. Even your family, your wives, your husbands. God comes first. I couldn't understand that when I was first a Christian. How do I had my little babies, little Chris and Matt. And I'm reading the scriptures where Jesus said, anybody who puts these before me is not worthy of me. And I couldn't understand it. How, Lord? How could I put you before these beautiful little babies? How do I put you before my love for my wife? And I went to him in prayer. And I said, Lord, I just don't understand it, but you could help me. Help me to understand, how do I make you first? And over the course of the next couple of years, as I kept reading the Bible, see, that's a key. You have to keep reading God's Word. You can't just pray. You have to read God's Word constantly. You see, I have learned, well, it's Scripture. When we pray, we talk to God. When we read His Word, He talks to us. So if you want to hear God, you have to read His Word. Everything. And over the course of time, my love for Jesus Christ deepened to where I was coming to the place where I knew in my heart I loved him more than anything else, because without him I would be nothing. And you want to know what? That enhanced the love I had for my wife and my children. It works. Often when I've gone to pastors' conferences, all the pastors would sit down at the table to eat, and usually you don't know all the people around you. And so I don't know why, but one of the first pieces of conversation is, well, how big is your church? How big is your church? And unfortunately, in the American culture, quantity means success. As I read the Bible, I find that is a lie, straight from the pit of hell. It's quality. And there were times where I would be embarrassed to say, well, we got a little over 100 people coming to church. And they had 500, 600, 1,200, 3,000, 5,000. And I felt ashamed of myself. Like I must be a failure. So again, go to the Word of God. And I have come to realize I would rather be the pastor of a church of 50 people who love God and are serious about their faith than the pastor of a church of 5,000 where the people just show up on a Sunday because that's the thing to do. And I want you to know how much I love you, how much I've cared for you, prayed for you. When you hurt, I hurt. And I would brag about this church to anybody who would listen to me, and I would stack this church up against any church around. And here's why. You love the Word of God. You want to be taught the Word of God. You want to be challenged by the Word of God. And most of you, believe it or not, serve in some sort of ministry. We have the 80-20 rule here, but it's in reverse. We have at least 80% of the people engaged in some sort of ministry in this church. I am so proud that you care for one another. If someone is hurting or needs help, there's always someone or some ministry group that's ready to come in and do whatever they can to help. I've never had to preach to you about giving. And yet, you give so generously, I can't believe it. About 30% of our budget actually goes to missions. Why is that? Why is it you love, you serve, you give, you pray, and you care? Because the Word of God is speaking to your heart. Stay close to God. Pastor Caleb is going to come. I feel good about him. I like him. He's a fine young man. Loves the Word of God. Loves God. Loves preaching. He's an expository preacher. And I told him, Caleb, my prayer is that you do far better than I ever could. Because this church is not about me, Elena, or anybody else. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. And you will make it a good church or a bad church. And so far, to my knowledge, you've made it a good church by your love. Your care. I was looking at Acts 27. When Paul left Ephesus and he said goodbye to them. I love Paul. He was a man completely sold out to God. He had struggles. He gave me encouragement. You know why? He saw himself as a sinner. He saw himself as a sinner saved by grace. As you read through his epistles and you see everything he's been through for Christ and how God used him in such a mighty way, and yet, as he came to the end of his ministry, he would say, "Oh, wretched man that I am. The things I don't want to do are the things I do, and the things I want to do, I don't." And that gave me such hope to know that I could be like Paul. Well, I'm not really like Paul, and the situation is very different. But I would say this applies to all of us, and so I would encourage you, as Paul said, "I'm serving the Lord with all humility." In verse 19, "I'm serving the Lord with all humility." The scripture says, "Do everything as though you were doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ." Always put him first. When Caleb comes, don't try to impress him. You're not serving him. You're not serving me. You're serving Christ. Never, ever lose sight of that. With trials. Trials are going to come. Trials are going to come. You know, some years ago, I had some difficult times here, and I wanted to quit. I said, "I can't take this anymore." Now, I've been in the business world for 30 years. All kinds of functions, all kinds of positions, from junior manager, senior manager, salesman. I think I've done just about everything. And being a pastor was the hardest job I ever had. I'm just using the word job for the sake of explanation. It was the hardest endeavor I ever had. And I wanted to quit. You ever feel like that? You ever start doing something you knew God wanted you to do and things are just not working right and it's really difficult and it's stressing you out and you say, "You know what? Let the next guy do it." You know what kept me from quitting? And this is so important. What kept me from quitting is the fact that I knew that God raised me up to be the pastor of this church. And I felt that when it was time to go, he would let me know, which he did. Trials. Verse 20. "This I feel good about. I did not shrink from declaring you anything that was profitable. I pray you learn that the whole counsel of God is important. Don't ever be afraid to talk about the difficult things in life, the difficult things Scripture talks about. Too many churches don't want to talk about sin. They don't want to talk about divorce. They don't want to talk about people living together who are not married. They don't want to talk about pornography. Because they're afraid people are going to get offended and they're going to leave. But you know what's good about God's word? When we're doing something that's not right with God, he doesn't hit us over the head with a bat. He brings it to light, not to hurt us, but to help us. Stay close to God. Read his word. Stay close to each other. Don't be afraid to talk to one another about the struggles you are having. Because in that you will find strength. You will be encouraged. Paul said that. Be encouraged by the faith of one to another. And then he said something in verse 24 that was very important to me. It's a principle, but different circumstances. And he said, that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus. That means everything to me. Ministry for Elena and I doesn't end today. It's going to change. It's going to be different. And I want you to understand that. And I want you to understand how that applies to you as well. Whenever you say yes to Jesus Christ, he will take you to places and show you things you never thought before. When we said yes to Jesus, I never knew we would go from New York to Chicago, to Wisconsin, to India, and to Florida. And every place we go, God is opening up doors for ministry. And there's absolutely nothing special about Elena or me, any more than there's anything special about any one of you here. The only thing is we said yes. Yes. We'll do it. We'll do it. And as I read in the scriptures, when I read about Moses setting up the tabernacle in the wilderness, these folks were slaves for 400 years. And God was going to build this magnificent tabernacle, beautiful linens, beautiful jewelry, beautiful decorations. And what did he say to Moses? Speak to so-and-so, speak to so-and-so. To do the work, and don't worry, I will give them the ability to do it. You see, too many times we say no to God because we look at the word and we think, how could I possibly do that? How could I possibly do that? How could I leave my job? How could I say to my neighbor, Jesus loves you and died for you, when they might hate me? How do I say to my boss, I'm not going to lie to make money, even if it's going to cost your job? How do you do that? How do you say no to your children when they want to start living with their girlfriend or boyfriend? How do you say no to the sports team when they want you to play when you should be in church on Sunday? How do you do that? How do you say no to something that's pulling you down, like a habit or an addiction? Well, see, if you say yes to Jesus, you could say no to all of these things, but it has to start with a determination in the heart that Jesus Christ comes first, and whatever he wants me to do, whatever he wants me to do, I'm going to do it. Crystal, where are you? Is it okay if I talk about our conversation this week? Crystal's really struggling with these tumors that are coming back, and the treatment she and Mike elected to take. And you know, everybody's got a different pattern, a different way, and doctors try to pull you apart. And my one question to Crystal is, Crystal, the road you and Mike have taken, do you believe this is from God? And she said, in a heartbeat, yes. And I said, then stay with it. Stay with it. Even if it doesn't work out the way we think it should work out, you need to remember this. One day you're going to face God. You're going to face Jesus Christ, and he's going to want to know, perhaps, why you didn't do what he said. Do you think, in all honesty, you're going to be able to say to him, well, the pressure was too great? This plays on my mind more and more, and I cannot impress it enough upon you. We're going to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, not for our sin, but to give an account of what we have done with our lives. What did we do with the opportunities God gave us? What did we do with the gifts he gave us? How did we use the Holy Spirit who indwells us? You know, it's like Paul said here, that I may finish my course and the ministry I receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a plan for every single one of you. Please be concerned about finishing that plan. Whatever it is God wants you to do, whatever station in life you are at now, be content. Paul said, I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I am in. Contentment brings peace. Always wanting something bigger or better takes away peace. I've learned these things over the year, and I've struggled with just about every one of these things that I've been speaking to you about today. But I could tell you, I am not afraid of tomorrow. I believe the best is yet to come for you and for me and Elena. I love what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. He says, one thing I do is I forget what lies behind and I reach forward to what lies ahead. I reach forward. That means Paul is doing something. And God has been opening up doors for Elena and I in India and already in Florida. That's just mind-boggling to us. And all we're saying is, yes, we'll do it. That's it. That's the only requirement. How many times have you heard me say I'm not that smart? There's nothing special about me. I'm just like you. The only thing is we say yes. I can't speak the language in India. When I first went there, we had all kinds of fears. What's it going to be like? Should I bring toilet paper? I didn't know what to expect. All kinds of fears. What about the animals? What about the language barrier? What about the food? And God showed me in the first trip, second trip, third trip, we had nothing to worry about. He'll take care of it. All you have to do is say yes. I want to share this one experience with you that I had with Elena. I don't know if it was our first or second trip. I didn't know the area. There was no hospital around that I knew of, and Elena got very sick. She started dehydrating, and when she gets like that here, I have to take her to the emergency room because she dehydrates, her blood pressure goes way down, and if we don't watch it, she could have a stroke. And so she's having this in our room in India. I didn't know what to do. God showed me in that time that when she got sick here, I was not depending on him. I was depending on the hospital because I knew within 5 to 6 minutes, we'll be at Oconomowoc Hospital, now Summit. And here we are. He stripped me of that. And I'm standing on the balcony and I'm crying to God. What do I do? I never felt so helpless in my life. I could do nothing for my wife except pray. And then I realized what these Indians go through in their life because they don't have half the things available to them that we have, and their greatest weapon is often their prayer. They pray. And I prayed on that balcony. I was bawling like a baby. And next thing I know, Pastor Vasu and his wife Joyce, who was kind of the village nurse, come along and they whisked her away, took us to a doctor that I didn't even know was around, and Elena got help. I just want to share with you, God makes the way. He makes the way. Just say yes. Just say yes. Is your marriage not working? Follow this. Follow this book. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and died for her. Women, submit to your husband. Love your husband. See, say yes to the Word of God. Say yes to the Word of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. In everything you do, acknowledge Him. Put Him first. And He will direct your path. He will direct your path. I want to tell you another story. We serve a God of miracles. When I was going to school, we were about 1 year into this. We had a beautiful apartment in a two-flat. Across the street was a beautiful park the kids could play in. And our landlords were downstairs. Elaine and I actually led them to the Lord. Because I just want to show you, when he sent us to school, I didn't know how are we going to do this. My salary went from here to here. How am I going to support my wife and 4 children and do what God wants me to do? It didn't make sense. If I put it on paper, it just didn't make sense. But I knew God wanted us to go, and Elena and I said, yes, we're going to do it. And so we go, and after about a year, I cannot begin to tell you how many miracles God did. But this one was really striking, at least to me. It made an impression upon my heart to show us what kind of a God we have. Well, our landlords come to us one day and say, Sal and Elena, we have some news for you. We're selling the house. And so, you know, I panicked. And it ended up that the person they sold it to had a daughter, and they wanted the daughter to live upstairs where we were, and we had to start looking for another place to live. Now, at the time in Chicago, Nobody wanted to rent an apartment to a family with four small children because they were afraid of damage, this, what, the other thing. And I don't know, Elena must have called every place available, same story, either some excuse or they hang up on us. We didn't know what to do. So we started moving closer to the city in what I would call the inner city. And we found this one place in Cicero. I don't know if you're familiar with Cicero, but this place in Cicero, I looked at it and I had shudders to think that my children would be going to those schools and playing on those streets. And so we go to look at this apartment. It was on the third floor, no elevator. And we get in there and we smell something. And there's this machine on the kitchen counter, and every so often it would... And we asked the realtor, what's that? And he said, well, that's roach spray. And so Elena and I just walked out of there. You remember that, Elena? We walked out of there. Elena's in tears. We couldn't find any place to live except the inner city. And I said, I am not putting my family in harm's way. I did not sense that's what God wanted us to do. And Elena said, Sal, don't worry. We'll go home. I'll live in your mother's basement. And when you finish school, you come. And I said, no, we're not doing it. God called me when we had a family, and he's going to have to take care of my family. So I went to God. I wasn't belligerent. I wasn't even angry. I just prayed my heart out. And I said, Lord, Elaine and I said yes. So this is your problem. This is your problem. We tried. It's your problem. About a week later, we're in our apartment back in Western Springs. And there's a knock on the door and a gentleman comes in. His name was Walt Whitler. He went to the church we did. We knew of him, but we really didn't know him very well. And he says to Elena, is Sal home? I want to speak with him. And she said, yeah, he's in the other room. Let me go get him. And he says, come on, Sal, take a walk with me. I want to speak with you. So I said, okay. I'm thinking, what did we do? What did the kids do? I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill them if they did something wrong. And so we're walking, and he said, Sal, I hear about your problem, that you can't find a place to live. He said, and God has put your family on my heart. So here's what I'm going to do. I've already instructed my real estate agent. And Monday, he's going to take you and Elena, and he's going to show you around, and you find a house that will work for your family, and I'm going to buy it, and you pay me whatever rent you can. Now, God could have easily spoken to any one of those landlords and just let him say yes. But you know what? Our God is not a God of logic, because that's what I would have thought. He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are over the earth are my ways than your ways. And so God responded when I said yes and said, Lord, this is your problem. And he sends a guy to buy a house for us. And if that wasn't so bad, about 3 days later, he sends another woman who was going to do the same thing. And we said no to her. We already had a house. Two people. This is not unique. This is the God we serve. That's why I tell you, whatever God wants you to do, say yes. Don't be afraid if he wants you to go somewhere or stop doing something or start doing something new. Whatever this book says, what do you do without the Word of God? And so my prayer is that you keep doing what you've been doing here. You have that hunger for the Word of God. Stay with it. You love to serve. Stay with it. Keep praying. Keep helping each other. Pray for Pastor Caleb. Be patient with him, okay? He's coming here. He's a newbie. Let him get acclimated. Let him get adjusted. Pray for him. Be patient with him. And there's no doubt in my mind he's going to begin to love you and you are going to begin to love him and things are going to start gelling. And say yes to God. Say yes to God. It's about the best thing I could tell you. I don't know for sure what's going to happen when we leave this place, Elena. In so many ways, I'm glad I'm leaving. Because now we could do what I believe God has put on our heart to do in India and in Florida. He's confirming that every day. And yet, it's ripping my heart out to leave. You have no idea. We went to a couple of churches and we were in Florida and I'm looking around and I'm saying, I don't know these people. Am I going to see Scott? Am I going to see Mike and Linda, Tom and Melanie, Bev, Tina? Where are they? I don't know anybody. This is my family. But we knew it was time to go. You see? You have to follow what God wants you to do. And if you don't know what God wants you to do, ask Him. He will tell you. Ask Him. He will tell you. Before we sing the last song, I'm going to ask Elena to come up forward here. We want to pray for you as our congregation. I know, my wife is ready to kill me.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah. But you're our family. I'll never forget you. And so we're going to pray that God would bless you beyond anything you've ever imagined. You don't have to pray, hon. Just stand with me, okay? Just stand with me. And then I'm going to ask the elders if they would come up and pray for us. Lord God, how could I ever thank you for this church? How could I ever thank you for the memories, the people, the experiences, the relationships, the ministry? Lord, what a privilege it is that you allowed me to serve here and Elena. To serve with people who love the Word of God and want to be challenged and want to learn and not just play.